没说话。
为什么这时候？
Good evening, my name is Teresa, I'm an alcoholic. Grateful to be here, grateful to be sober because of a loving God. Thank you, Lee, and everyone who participated in getting me here and supporting this process and putting this on. Thank you so much. It's an honor and a privilege to ask to speak and participate in my recovery. I would say thank you for doing a 12-step call on me. I get to stay sober tonight. I don't know what y'all gonna do. a little selfish, huh, Carla? I don't know. But anyway. Oh, man. I was just so full. There's a lot of things kind of rushing through my head right now. Amy jacked me up. First of all, that was a lot of pressure. Just in her sharing, it was just so profound, like it was just stringing every string of my heart, you know, it just opened me up. And so I'm all emotional and raw because I went on a journey with her and I didn't even know. And it's funny because I'm like, I wonder if she remembers me, you know, and because I heard her speak, you know, some time ago and fell in love with her and I'm sitting like, oh my God, and I'm all a mess. And she's like, Aunt Teresa. I was like, no. Wait, that jacked me up. And I was looking all cute and everything, and then all the makeup, and then my eyes went psh, and I got to write on that tonight. But yeah, that was a lot of pressure. I was like, oh my God, how can I do anything after her? And so the rest of them, y'all, good luck, because she just set it all on fire. That was beautiful, just powerful. And I love women's conferences. I like to take it in. I'm always in awe that I'm not uncomfortable. I always notice that. Because I remember being really uncomfortable in a room full of women. Like, this is the last thing I wanted to do. Because you are my reflection, you are my mirror. And I don't want to see me. And I used to like hanging out with the guys. They tell me I'm cute, you know, I got it going on. And women, you just expose me, you know. And I'd be like, hold on a minute. And so I just check myself when I'm able to. That is my temperature when I'm around women, to kind of see where I'm at in my own skin. Because when I'm not comfortable, your mirror reflection will let me know that. Early in my recovery, talk about willing to go to any lengths. I had to go to women and tell you what was going on with me. And I literally had to go up to women and say, I don't like you because I see a beauty in you that I don't see in me. I see a strength in you that I don't see in me. I still get, you know what I mean? I'd be like, can you show me? You know, that's why I don't like you. That's why I'm uncomfortable around you. And so I gauge myself. And that there are times I have been in women conferences and I'm uncomfortable. And that lets me know I got to do some work. You know, I've got some things going on. So, and even I stole this from my host in Miami whenever she would go to her and I would say, oh, you're so pretty. And she'd go, mirror, mirror, you know, mirror, mirror. And so I do that a lot now. And everybody's, oh, you're so pretty. I go, mirror, mirror. This is always awkward and uncomfortable. And I always feel vulnerable and intimidated. I have to get that out of the way. I like the step. I like all the steps. When people say pick a step, I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, they're congruent. There's a harmony. It's a music rhythm to me. They all kind of go together. And it's a way of life. And so it was cute. She was like, pick your favorite passage. Big ass book. Favorite? Really? Seriously? All I had to do was just go like this and open it. See what happens. But I was like, I guess it'd be appropriate to find something that has to do with step 3. Man, thank you, Sherry. She's adorable. Like, she's hosting me. And she's coming from Memphis, and she texts me and called me like, everybody knows I like Walmart. I travel all over the place. And people are like, you want to go to a museum? You want to do something? I'm like, you got a Walmart. I mean, all that, everybody knows now. Just take her to Walmart. She's fine. I could be there for days. Bye. It's like Disneyland to me. There's so much to do there. But she's like, I know you like Walmart, so I'm going to go to Walmart and I'll get you everything you want. And I'm like, are you traveling too? Yeah, I'm like, you're not traveling with my stuff from Walmart in your suitcase? That's weird. Anyway. She wanted to be of service. I was like, you're not doing that. No. Anyway. But she went to Walmart after she got here. She's very pushy. And you're the voice. She's pushy, too. You were scaring me. I was having a little bit of an anxiety attack. Did anybody else feel that? She was like, put your phone down. Be quiet. I was like, oh, my God. I was like, she's intense. Better not get in trouble with her around. I just need to get these things out. You know what I'm saying? Okay. She's not playing. And her hair's all, like, intense. She is like meaning business, you know what I mean? Like, I'm looking at her like, oh my God, that is strength right there. Yo, don't mess with that lady. I'm having a hot flash. Okay. And all you ladies will understand, certainly I've been sharing this a lot until it changes, is that I'm going through menopause. So at one, you know, I feel like I'm burning from the inside out. I keep singing that song to alert everyone in the house what's about to happen. So I keep going, this girl is on fire. Oh, man, I start stripping. And it's an interesting experience because I'm all off balance. So like one minute I'm all sweet and kind and the next minute I turn into the exorcist. And I can only describe it this way. I apologize for the cursing, but that's the only way I can give the visual. But literally, my head starts spinning. I'm like, your mother sucks cock in hell. And, you know, and I'm like, oh, you know, I'm like, what the hell is happening to me, man? What is going on, yo? I am out of control right now. Woo, crying is deep. Okay. I'm having an experience. And the whole thing about it is that I'm present for it. You know, at least if I was loaded, I would blame it on the cabassier or something. You know what I'm saying? Whew. Oh, man. My sobriety date is March 29, 1990. Yeah. I've had the grace of a loving God. What an honor and a privilege. This is my first time in the program. I like to share that. I think it's important to share that. That there are those of us who do recover. Our literature does talk about that 50%. Betty T in our home group used to always say that. I never knew what she was talking about. But Betty T would always be like, don't forget about that 50%. Don't forget about that 50%. I'm like, what is this lady talking about? Now I get it, you know. And I have yet to go out. And I learned that yet means you're eligible too, so I'm not exempt from the possibility. Thank God we just do this one day at a time. Even though someone came up to me about I'm speaking for them in 2020, I like throwing off people who call me to speak like next year. And I'd be like, well, there goes my glass of wine tomorrow. I have plans. But no. I get them nervous. Telling me I gotta stay sober to 2020? No. Oh, they start second guessing. Oh, goodness. I want to welcome our new friends. Welcome home. We've been praying for you. I'm glad you're here. I wish you the gift of desperation. And that alcohol is through with you. That's what it takes for most of us. There are those of us who do stop in time. And you get to learn, right, what we've done. And I heard this when I got here, is that I don't know what you're going to do. But this is what we've done. And we get an opportunity to examine our relationship with alcohol and see if we need to be here, you know? Again, I love the steps. I don't know how I can function without them or live without them. And I get the privilege of sharing on step 3 about my relationship with God. You know, I'm so grateful that nobody ever apologized for their relationship with God when I got here. It was almost like they were singing it off to the rooftops. I got sober in South Central, 9604, Crenshaw, Alano. I see a lot of my homies in the house. And everyone talked about God. Now, could it have been because most of them had seen the depths of hell? I mean, I got sober. Most people came out from Skid Row. It was a good day because they had teeth and clean underwear. You know what I'm saying? That was a good day. I always think about this stick on my head. Somebody shared. I think it was at the 5 o'clock. And I'll never forget that she said her moment of clarity was that she was hanging out in a dope house. And she was watching this rat taking care of its babies better than she was taking care of hers. Thank you. What? I'm like, yo! That's genius! You better keep coming back, man! Wow! That's something! Let me tell you, I've seen a lot of things, but South Central scared me. Anyway. But by this time, when I get to step 3, what I hope, the steps go in order of anyone who is new. I always say the answer to one step is in the next step, right? So by now, I've gotten to at least conceded to my innermost self that I'm truly alcoholic. I've examined my relationship with alcohol. I've come to see it as a soul sickness, that I have this allergy of the body. It's imperative. I think that they told me the only step I need to do perfectly is step 1. If there's any reservation, I have to revisit that. And some have gone out to do that. And so I'm grateful that they insisted that I be thorough in this area. And I became a private investigator. I don't know if that helps anyone who's new. I'm very Latina. You're going to find that out. I'm very Telemundo. I'm very dramatic. Okay? And I'm visual. I'm very visual. So I saw it as visual. So literally I became like a private investigator, whereas asking questions, right, and looking, and I looked at the doctor's opinion and throughout the whole book, and I kept asking myself questions. Did that happen to me? Does that explain anything? Oh, is that why? Was that? That's what I was doing so that I can get clear and connect the dots. I didn't go around saying I was an alcoholic because everybody else says it. I'm not doing that. When I said it, I needed to know what I was talking about. And by now, I need to really know what I'm talking about. Because I tell people, I don't know about you, but when I conceded to my innermost self, and I did step 1, I ran to the other steps. I didn't skip. I didn't wonder if I should. I was in trouble. In the 12 and 12 on step 3, again, bear with me, I'm very dramatic. Could you imagine sponsoring me? In the 12 and 12, I always felt like in some areas, the big book in the 12 and 12 yelled at me. I just felt like it was yelling at me, right? So in the 12 and 12 on step 3, it says, that is so funny the way they write this stuff. They start out nice. They go, now that the drinking problem's been solved, and now is when they yell at me, you're in trouble! If you thought your ass was in trouble in step 1, wait till you get to 3. Oh my goodness, I was like, are you serious right now? They were like, you the problem. I was like, what?
good. You know what I mean? Alcohol is very bad for you. I have an allergy. I'm such as in the mind. We're cool. Oh, no, baby girl. We just getting started. You figure once you put the plug in the jug, I should be good. Amy described it. I'm uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable, man. I don't do life without it. It's my oxygen. How do I breathe? I need an oxygen tank. And in some ways, I was sharing with some young ladies during our break. I'm going to say it the way I said it. I'm not even going to try to make it sound pretty. I don't even know how to do that. Whatever. Okay, I'm going to say it the way I said it. And that is, in some ways, I feel like I had an advantage, quite frankly, because of my relationship with alcohol. Because I'm born addicted, I'm given alcohol my entire life. So that means I never went one day without drinking. So the dynamics of my relationship with alcohol is this. It tells me when to get up in the morning, when to go to bed at night. Where I'm going to live, where I'm not going to live. If I'm in a relationship, if I'm not. Who I'm in a relationship with. If I'm going to work. It dictates every single area. It's non-negotiable. I'm very clear on that. No one interferes with that. It is everything to me. My lover, my friend, my companion, everything. And so I put down the drink, and then I pick up the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, but I have no other point of reference. Do you see what I'm saying? Because that's all I know. So that was my higher power. Alcohol was my master. I don't have no go in between. I got no gray areas. Do you see what I'm saying? I know what that is. And then I come to you and you tell me I just need to find another one. You see, I didn't get caught up in, oh, I need a higher power. I've always had one. It's called alcohol. I don't know how to function without it. How do you get up in the morning without it? How do you breathe without it? How do you make a decision without it? How do you party without it? How do you make love without it? I don't know how to do any of that. I've been drinking my whole life. Thank God you tell me that I just need to find another one. If you would have told me that I needed cognitive therapy, and that somehow, you don't understand that I need, and that works for some people, but not for a drunk like me. Because if you would have said, now, Teresa, you're going to figure out how to live life on your own, I would have died. I don't know how. And so I had to find another one. I need to be convinced of what? That life run by me doesn't work? Alcohol no longer does for me what it used to do for me. I came to you because it stopped working. I can't do another 24 hours with that higher power. So I need another one. That's why I said that's an advantage, because I got no in between. And so coming to step three wasn't like, oh, I don't want to do that. You know what I'm saying? I got no other choice but to do that. Or I'm going to go back to the other master, the other higher power, which isn't doing anything for me. It left me emotionally retarded with no coping skills. So now what? Just like Amy said, I believe the same way. I believe because you believe. Look, it's a simple program for complicated people. I've always been that way. We were talking about that. English is my second language, believe it or not. And so I take everything literal. As a matter of fact, my sponsor, my grand sponsor, Ralph gets on me a lot. I take everything literal. Now I'm in the phase of kind of letting up on that a little bit. He's like, oh my God, like, try to read in between a line or something. So they're like, it says here exactly we have to do that. And you're like, oh my God. Be a little flexible. And so it said that I needed to be convinced. Now I'm at a place where I need a new employer, a new director. New. I love the language. It says new, not old. New. It didn't matter. I went to Catholic school for 11 and a half years. I grew up, even though we were very toxic and sexual abuse, physical abuse, my family is interesting. We're very yin and yang, all in vinegar, I don't know what you want to call it. We had both, no? We had mafia and scandal and all that, and then we also had priests and priestess, you know what I'm saying? It's, And then we have politicians, police officers, they're all the same. Everybody's the same. Everybody's the same. And so none of that was relevant. I like how Ebby told Bill, you don't have to take it all at once. I saw it in you. I saw something in you. That's all I know. I didn't need to necessarily define it or know exactly what it was. In a way, I know how it says a God of our own understanding, but the big book kind of gives me a description of it. I don't have to get trip on it too long. It says it. I love when people are like, I don't know, what should the higher power be? I don't know, look at the page. It says new employer, new director. I don't know, I'm just saying. Maybe it's me. I think it's a hint. You know what I'm saying? That's a little bit of a hint. Don't trip. Just follow the black on the white. You'll be fine. You'll figure it out later. Because I'm in a place in step three where, in a way, I love it. Okay, look. Sanity does not return until step 10. So I don't know why I'm trying to be sane on 2 and 3. 2 says, I believe I can. That's all it says. It says, I believe I can. You see, when I got sober, when I would go talk to Alzheimer's, they'd be like, what step are you on? And I'd be like, I'm on 4. I can't talk to you until you get to step 10. That's what they used to tell me. And they went away, what step are you on? I'm on 8. Wait till you get to 10. I was like, what the hell? And then finally I was like, I'm at 10. They were like, finally, sanity has returned. What's going on? And even then when you get there, they're like, you just started, so don't trip. You think you see a burning bush, but you probably don't. Anyway. Talk to somebody about it. And so here I am at 3, where as I can let go of prejudices, old ideas, anything that stood in the way, that's standing in the way of me making a decision. The other thing about 3 for me is that now I have this thing called the power of choice, which I didn't have before. It's just fascinating the way these steps are written. How can I make a decision if I don't have the power of choice? See, I didn't have choice. Alcohol told me everything. I couldn't choose. And now I'm at 3 and I could choose. I need to just be willing. They just say just a mustard seed of willingness to believe that it's possible, that there is something there. The answer to 3 is going to be on 4, so I can't look for the answer in 3. Remember old time of Gloria. I still hear her in my head. Recently, I didn't have my glasses. I can't see without them. I'm like so blind. But anyway, I was speaking at a meeting, and she was sitting like at the end. And I didn't recognize this lady, so she started talking. And I cross-talked. I don't know what you call it. But I was like, that's Gloria! Because I heard her voice. But Gloria used to say, now I don't know how much time Gloria, anyway, Gloria used to say, you can't be stuck on step 3. Step 3 says made a decision. You're still trying to come to believe. That's what she's always saying. I still hear it in my head. And the way it's written in the book, it says, now being convinced. Anybody check that out? I was convinced. Where did I get convinced? I got convinced in 1. Really convinced. I'm convinced I can't do this. The jig is up, yo. The party's over. I'm waving the white flag. I can't do this. If you leave it up to me, I'm getting loaded. That's what I'm convinced about. I'm no longer trying to rationalize and justify. I tell people, stop trying to prove that you're not and find out if you are. Because if you are, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. The alcoholic only has 2 thoughts. I'm the alcoholic. These are my only 2 thoughts. How to and how not to. That's not normal. Normal people don't do that. So those are my only 2 thoughts, and I believe that I can be restored to sanity. What sanity? That I'm not only thinking those 2 thoughts. So I make a decision to tap into, find out about this power. To me, 3 is I'm deciding to find out. What is this?
that has performed these miracles that I witness in these rooms? What is it? What is it? How does it look in me? You gave me a hint earlier. You said deep down inside in every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of this power. It's in me. How do I get there? Through the steps. It's not deep, newcomers. Relax. Honestly, maybe as, I don't know, an opinion or something, but I think we get caught up with like a recovery treatment, no? And it's great because I went through treatment, but it's blending some kind of way. You know the simplicity, no, with the neurons and people talking about the transons and the dynamics of my emotional condition of the sources in which the earth evolves. When people talk to me like that, I'll be like, you're scaring me right now. It's like I'm watching a scary movie. I'm scared. You scared? That's too much. That's too much. That's too much. Step three just says make a decision. Stop it. Don't do that. Don't do that. And so it all goes on to tell me that I'm convinced that life run by me just doesn't work. How do I know that? I have evidence. I did research. I was a private investigator. Remember? I have lists. That no matter what I've done, it always ended up terrible. And now I take on this new employer. And I say this prayer. And I say, God, take all of me. What will you have me be? What will you have me do? Now I'm going to share with you what my experience has been with three in my life in general. I don't get an opportunity to share it much, but I'm going to go for it. The first 5 years, because it's changed. I did the prayer, you know, when I was new. I got to do it at Dr. Bob's house. Oh, it was so nice. Oh, my God. I love all that. I knew I was hooked when I was crying with the coffee pot. I'm like, okay. Do not post this on Facebook. My family, you know what I'm saying? I still got to remain cool with my family. Don't post that. I'm like, why are you crying? Why are you crying with a coffee pot? Is there Bustelo in there? Is there Spanish coffee in it? Whatever. And so ultimately in my life, in general, I've had these steps kind of turn into 3D, you know, where I'm living them. They become practical application in my life. And after the 5th year of my sobriety, I spent my first 5 years going back to what I do for trade, which was I built companies from the ground up. I started 5 law firms in California. I got a house in Lancaster when nobody was out there with tumbleweeds and Joshua trees and all this kind of stuff, making 6 figures. I've only made 6 figures even when I was drinking and using. Aside from the fact I was with Colombians and I had another side job. But, oh, you know, we make money. You know what I'm saying? We make money. I live more like Michelle Pfeiffer on Scarface. I wanted to tell you, Amy, you were saying that that's your self-employed? Okay, in our home group, we call it public relations. All the women say that, oh, I was into public relations. I have to say this. I used to go around saying I didn't prostitute, right? And I took pride in that. And I used to go to my home group and be like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you share that. That's a yet for me. Oh my gosh, thank you so much for letting me know what it could be like if I go back out and drink again. That is just horrible, selling your body like that. Old timers are like, that's interesting. Let me see. You never were at a club or a bar and the guy bought you a drink and you went home with him? I was like, yeah. They were like, you a hoe! Oh, man! I was over here hoeing and didn't even know it. I didn't even get paid. At least you knew, you know what I mean? This was a profession. I'm in rare form. Okay. Oh, my
my God. I got a lot going on right now. Okay. Oh. Oh, jeez. And so I'm making money, I'm doing stuff, and then business went bad and I lost everything. I lost my home, I lost my car, I lost everything. And I was literally, my first experience in my entire life, homeless, in sobriety. And I am present for the experience. I went to stay at a friend's house. My mother is from New York. And my dad made this suggestion. My dad told me to take 3 days of silence and to meditate every day with a glass of water and a candle and to ask God what God wanted of me. I heard Ralph's voice. I repeat him. I parrot him often because I heard him my whole sobriety, which was that sobriety was a gift given to me by God, and what I do with it is my gift to God. I get a blessing to be a blessing, you know? And so I sat in silence, and I came from out of that after the 3 days with meeting God butt naked, alone, with a white flag up my ass. And I said, God, take all of me. What will you have me be? What will you have me do? I've been on a journey ever since. My life does not belong to me. I don't know what that is. I understand self-will in a different way. You know what I'm saying? So I turn my life over to this power, and I end up going back into my religious practice, my family. I became initiated. It's generations of my family. I'm the last one left in my generation, and I returned to that and got initiated, and literally that's giving your life. It's like a nun, but you don't, you know what I mean, live in a convent. I marry God. I become a walking, living saint on earth. I have a lot of rules, a lot of obligations. I have legacy to hold up to, from Africa to Cuba to Puerto Rico, and it's very overwhelming because literally my life no longer belongs to me. This is, like my sponsor said, this is a serious third step. Okay? I have a book that tells me how I'm going to live, what I'm going to eat, where I'm going to go, what I'm going to do, how I'm going to dress. Thank God for the steps. And during this process, I have to live closed in for 7 days, and I spend a year where I can't look in the mirror, can't wear makeup, can't go outside at night. I have to sit, I eat on the floor, and it's all these rules. And I have to be in silence for 7 days and for the majority of the year. I got a clean house. When you in silence that long, and I came out of that as a servant of God. And it was like you have to take care of, you can no longer work in a job, a regular job. Your job is to serve God. Wherever you're asked to go, with no question. I have to take care of my family, and most of them are my perpetrators and my abusers. I've been the caretaker for them. I did my initiation in 1996. Most of my sponsees don't want to be as spiritual as I am. They'll tell you that. They're like, oh, no, I like my paycheck. Hold up. They're like, we ain't doing that. My path is my path. And in all these years, it's been necessary for me to make this decision with this power. To take every bit of me. To not demand, to not ask, and to not question. I am constantly...
constantly uncovering, discovering, and discarding. It is essential for me to clean house, to have an intuitive thought, to move and shift by that intuitive thought. I don't sit around and do nothing. I can only operate from the compass. You know, it's like that man that goes around looking for the metal in the beach. I have to follow the breadcrumbs. I don't get to demand and ask for what I want and what I want to do. I'm constantly being stripped of all the things that are blocking me. And I made that decision in 3. I reflect on, I went to a ceremony. I was the elder of that ceremony. And it was a rites of passage for young women. And before that, I had been in silence for 7 days. And I was doing what they call prayer ties to bring into a sweat lodge. And I did all these little prayer ties, and they told me, you'll know when to bring them back. And so I just remember that day that they waited for me. And when I came out, I had a cape of prayers. And everybody was like, oh my God, because I was supposed to be walking on water. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh. And everybody's like, whoa, that's deep, you know. And I looked at them and I said, you see what it takes to be spiritual? Because you see, when I make this decision with this power, it's so that I can go on a journey to discover what is blocking me. I need to constantly see what is standing in the way of my usefulness to it. That's the decision that I'm making. Where am I in this? You see, I'm in the way and I reach for the bottle because I can't get it the way I want it or the way I need it. And so I get refuge in there. But now I need to look at me so that I can let this power do what it does. And that's what I've been doing for the last 20-something years. That's my experience with step 3. I live it. I don't know how to do anything else different. And again, in some ways, have I been set up that way? Because I came into the world this way? To me, there's an advantage. I haven't struggled as much. Because it seems it's like it's divine order. It was meant to be there. How did I survive? Why did I survive? Do you know that they gave me alcohol in my mother's womb and mommy gave a bottle of alcohol in my life, as a baby? How did I survive? God's a show-off. That's what I call him, a big old show-off. I'm going to wrap up. So step 3, let me tell you. I've had my share, man. I be doing the dance, boy. I get jealous of other people. I get jealous of people having fun and doing whatever they want and watching people run on self-will. I think it's fascinating. I do. I get jealous. And recently, after my brother died and my father died and I was grieving and I had went bankrupt after burying people and exhausted my funds, and I got tired of people showing up with groceries, and I started getting ungrateful because I just have to let things show up. I can't look for them. I can't count them. I can't calculate them. It's weird. I got to live like a nomad kind of thing. And I didn't like it. You know what I mean? I wanted my own and to do my own and be in my own and pay for my own. And I had my opportunity of seeing what it was like to be on self-will. And those were the darkest days of my sobriety. I don't want to do that again. That was horrible. I don't know how people do it all the time. That was horrible. It was horrible. I was in my head. My disease, you know what I mean? The disease just awoke and it's they're waking me up in the morning and at night and you got to do this and you got to do that and da-da-da and get this and get that. It was bad. I couldn't go into prayer and meditation and silence because my insides were just like, ugh. And thank God my feet are trained because I just keep cleaning house, trusting in God, cleaning house, trusting in God, being of service. But I was not okay. I was angry and I got bitter because I had fibromyalgia, PTSD, anxiety, depression. And I was like, yo, I just want to have fun like people have on Facebook. Why can't I have fun like people have on Facebook? Everybody's having fun on Facebook. I always gotta do an inventory after looking at Facebook.
Everybody's eating wonderful meals and going to fabulous places, and everybody's in love. And then they call me. I'm like, they're about to jump off a bridge. I was like, I just saw you in a picture on Facebook. I'm confused. You know, man, you was having fun just now. 20 minutes ago, you posted a picture. That's been my life. You know, step three, all the steps have saved my life. Even though this is my practice, I remember Daddy telling me, Daddy took me to his library, which is all spiritual books, and I gave him the big book to look at it, and he read it, and he put it in the middle of the room, and he told me, you see all these books in this library? Everything in this library is in this book. He told me, with this, why do you need anything else? He was my teacher. I've had wonderful spiritual teachers who have helped me and support me. The steps have allowed me to get up in the morning and go to bed at night. You know, there are times I have a question mark about this higher power. There's times I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, so I look for somebody with a flashlight or I follow the voice. I'm so grateful that I've come out of that darkness because I surrendered to saying I will no longer apologize for my relationship with God today. I am different than my fellows. I am an alcoholic. I can't do what other people do. I take care of my mom. Mommy's in my house. Mommy has Alzheimer's, and we do the dance, and she stretches my spiritual muscles. And just in this last few months, my life is extraordinary. And miracles take place every day as a result of making the decision to turn my will and my life over to this power that some people can never explain. My girlfriend lost her job. The car got repoed. My nephew's been suicidal. He's living in my house. I happen to start school. I'm doing good. I got an A. She's the English teacher. She told me, I got an A. I don't know what God's preparing me for and what the journey is. Sherry says she's going to help me. When it was all said and done in cleaning house and being jealous of everybody having a normal life and my life is the way it is, I've started school. And I'm really enjoying it. It's like weird. Maybe it's helping to solidify that I'm not stupid. Because I heard that my whole life, even though I always got straight A's. It's just something that I'm doing for me. It feels good. It's challenging. It's stimulating. It's taking up all of my sleep. I'll be spending most of the weekend up in the room doing my I have a couple of finals and assignments left. My teachers love, I don't know if they love hearing from me, but they hear from me a lot. I'll end with this. It's funny. My nephew is so cute because I was telling Sherry, I'd be sending them emails. And I'm like, why do I have a 99? You know. He'd be like, it's 99. And just the other night, I was like, oh my gosh, God, look at this. With a mother with Alzheimer's, you know what I mean? Going through all these changes, physically having pain, having moments of trauma, struggling with language. I learned, we talked about that. English is my second language, and there are other options I could do about that. It's hard sometimes for me to process information. And with on traveling and with all that, I'm doing really well. I'm doing really, really well. And that's sufficient. And I don't know where God is taking me with this. And I know the program I'm going after, but I don't know what turns I'm going to make. And I don't know where the journey is leading me. But that's what step three is for me. My life looks like that. I just do what's in front of me and I trust in God, and even when it doesn't make sense, and even if it doesn't make sense to you, then I don't have to defend it and I don't have to figure it out. All I know is that when I live my life according to this text, everything flows exactly the way it's supposed to be, whether it's divine order or not. In some ways, I think divine order is a little taken to another level. You know what I mean? If it's meant to be, it's meant to be, so you don't even have to point it out because it just is. But this is how I've been living my life today. I'm in a comfortable place.
I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where I'm headed, and that's usually when I'm doing my best. The less I know, the better off I am. I am more present and awake than ever before. I do have an attitude of gratitude today. I'm looking forward to this weekend with all you ladies. I see familiar faces and people that I know, and it just feels good to see my mirror and my reflection and the miracles that happen around here. And so again, I'm just so grateful right now, this moment, in this moment, that I get to be here with you and feel the presence of this power. And if you're new, I invite you to just be willing, to be willing, to be willing. If nobody told you they love you today, I truly, truly do. I want to thank you all so much for allowing the God in you to help discover the God in me so that I can do the same for others. I look forward to the round. I'm so excited for the rest of the speakers. Thank you. Was that awesome? That was awesome. Now we're going to hold hands and say the Lord's Prayer. Okay? Wasn't that awesome?